question, Joe. You have me prepped for probably crying in this episode.
What?
We had a deep, meaningful discussion before this.
Oh.
And so I'm probably going to get deep in my feels.
That's okay. Do you want to know something funny first before
yes.
you get deep
Lighten
in your feels?
Lighten my mood, please.
Okay. So if you listened last week to our episode, we got a little heated. So I have a friend, Kim, who is an Enneagram 9, and I was thinking about her the whole time. I mentioned her, yes.
The Enneagram
so I had warned her because we went to dinner, and I said, just so you know, next week's podcast, you may have struggle with. Okay, here's a text conversation I had with her yesterday.
Oh, hit me with it.
She said, my Enneagram 9 self is not doing well with the podcast conversation today. So glad I had warning of the conflict. And then she said later, I'm halfway done. I took breaks.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry you had to take breaks,
And then
Kim.
Later.
Oh, no.
Let's see. An hour later, she said, Enneagram 9 shout out. I clearly took another break, but I did persevere.
I'm so sorry you had to persevere. If you, listener, persevered through our last podcast, congratulations. Give yourself a nice little treat.
Yeah. So we're not talking about anything like that this time.
No.
So I just thought that that was funny. I mean, I could feel that.
Oh,
feel
there was
it.
Tension.
Mm-hmm.
There was tension.
But not like, I hate you. You're not invited to my birthday party kind of tension.
Yeah, exactly. It's not tension like that. No. It's just general frustration when you're not understood.
Yeah. I did feel like I had to shake off that conversation.
Like get a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think some space was nice.
Uh-huh.
So we usually like break after this anyway. So.
Yeah. But it was weird. Anyway.
It's okay though.
And completely, because I'm trying to think like what, I was not frustrated with, aggravated at you.
Mm-hmm.
It was like why we couldn't get on the same ding dang page.
Yes.
And, it would feel like we were on the same page, and then I'll be like, oh, we are not.
No.
Are we even reading the same book? I don't know. So we understand it was just an example of, I think that happens a lot in conversations that we're having
mm-hmm.
with people. But if we don't stick it out, we don't even realize we were ever not really
the
understanding
page.
Them.
You might form another story in your head.
Yeah.
About why they didn't get it.
And which actually, I think, is a nice segue into this week's conversation.
All right.
So let's just jump right to it. This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 86, we're talking about loneliness.
Loneliness. So here's why I think it connects to last week. If we're never like staying in conversation long enough to really feel like we're understanding what someone said, and you said, oh gosh, what did you just said it? Like we tell ourselves other stories about what that person means. And
mm-hmm.
so, I think it can leave us feeling like no one understands us. No one's listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
No one gets it, or everyone else gets it and we don't. And so then that can lead to the feelings of loneliness.
Yeah. Loneliness, isolation.
Mm-hmm. So you brought this topic up.
I did. It's a topic that I think has come up quite often in my life and probably very often in everyone's life. If you're a human being, you know what it's like to be lonely, and there's a distinct different, or you can still be lonely while being surrounded by people.
Mm.
But sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking I can't be lonely. I have so many friends or mm-hmm. I'm in this place surrounded by so many people,
mm-hmm.
but that, disconnect between the two can be a really painful place to be.
Yeah. When I was thinking about this, I kind of separated it into two types of loneliness. Like there's the external loneliness, like, oh, I feel alone. Like I just want to be surrounded by other people.
Okay.
I don't feel that very often because I'm an introvert. I think I am fine to, I mean, I think I could be by myself for like a week and not care.
Okay.
Like not leave my house. And because of my work at Make Do, I do see other people. So then that kind of alleviates that like need to be around
like the
other
basic
people.
Need of like, I see a human face
uh-huh.
in real life.
Uh-huh. So I don't need that like external, just being around other people very often. However, I think there's an internal loneliness of it's not that you need to be around other people. It's that you need to be like known or seen mm-hmm. by Understood. Other people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when, after I graduated college, I went and lived in Chile for about three months teaching English, and I was by myself. And I remember being on the subway, like packed in, you know, shoulder to shoulder with other people. And thinking, I am surrounded by other people, but I am completely alone. Like they, even their thoughts in their own head right now are all happening in Spanish mm-hmm. and mine are happening in English. Like there is nothing connecting me to those people.
And I think you're hitting on something there. There's nothing connecting you to mm-hmm. those people. So that's where you get that feeling of loneliness from.
I also, this is a tangent, used to pretend that I was a spy because this is when I was obsessed with Alias on the subway. And so I would like find someone and follow them. Isn't that creepy?
It is.
Like
it,
they were my mark.
Oh my goodness.
And I would pretend to do dead drops. Like when I would throw something in the trash and then pretend like the person who was
coming up was going to grab it. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
But that's neither here nor there. I think spies are probably pretty lonely.
Yeah, because you can't really have connections with people.
Well, and any connection you have is false.
Or it's connected back to work.
It's where you're being like a false person to connect with them so you can get what you need from them.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm a person that very much craves connection and being around people. I would say out of the two of us, I'm the extrovert.
Well, and even I think the level of connection that you need mm-hmm. is bigger than mine. Like you have talked about why you like recording the podcast because it makes you feel connected to me.
Yes.
And I like doing it because it's fun.
Sure.
I mean, I like connecting to you too, but it's not, I don't realize that I need that. And you know that you need it.
That's something that I've had to grapple with because even in my own marriage, I think that I have a bigger need for connectedness than my husband does, which that can obviously lead to a lot of feelings of loneliness mm-hmm. when someone doesn't reciprocate that same need. But people are different, and it's not good or bad. It's just different. I first remember starting to feel lonely when I was in third grade because I had two best friends, Audrey and Amy. And Audrey, who was like my bestest friend, because you can't have more than one best friend.
Right.
She was my bestest friend. She moved away. And my friend Amy found other friends, and so I was left kind of in the ocean trying uh-huh. to figure out who I was going to be connected to. And I'm a friendly enough person. I would, like, you know, draw some people in and get to hang out, but I never really found people until I was about, say, in, like, middle school. But the problem with that is that in middle school, they start breaking you up into all of these different classes.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, a main class right. that you are in. And so I didn't have... most of my classes were not with my typical friends. And then those friends went into marching band and I wasn't in marching band. And so that feeling of loneliness perpetuated into high school, and then add on a layer of people starting to date.
Mm-hmm.
And that desire of connection within me grew even that much more. But because of the kind of person I was, I mean, I'm intense now. But I know to a lot of those teenage boys back in high school, I was real intense and I was different. And so I didn't date a lot in high school. And so it's something that I've constantly had to deal with on a significant level. And I think only recently I've started to get comfortable in my loneliness. Not get rid of it.
Right.
But live with it. Because you can't. It's not really something that you can control. It's like a feeling.
Yeah.
Like you can't expect not to be sad anymore.
Right.
It's just, how do you live with your sadness? How do you live with your loneliness?
Yeah. As a single person, mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people, I mean, okay, I used to look at older women who were single and be like, that poor lonely woman. You know, like, it's easy for us to project loneliness on someone because they are alone, when, like, being alone in your house is not the same as being lonely. And so then I always think it's actually probably easier for me to handle my loneliness because I am alone. So there's some congruency there. Mm-hmm. And I think it would feel way more lonely. It feels way more lonely when you're surrounded by people or you're like sharing a bed with your spouse, mm-hmm. and there's someone laying like right next to you and you feel lonely.
Yeah. Because it's that disconnect.
Yes.
And it adds, it's almost like the insult to injury. And I can confirm that when I feel disconnected from Richard, that loneliness is almost palpable.
Yeah.
It's tough. And I would say, I was watching a video on loneliness and it kind of sparked my, it sparked my interest. It's by Caroline Winkler. She typically does interior design videos, but she did this on her blog channel. And she said, when you're in your just 20s in general, it's a very lonely time. And I thought, I don't think so. Like, that's usually when people are going out, dating, they're experiencing all these new things, they're going into new jobs. But it's all of those, it's for all of those same reasons why people in their 20s feel lonely and disconnected, because you're starting so many new things.
I was going to say it's a lot of transition.
It's a lot of transition. You don't get a lot of time to build up connections. A lot of people travel abroad like mm-hmm. you did, or they are trying to find a partner, mm-hmm. which can be very, can feel very disconnected mm-hmm. when you are like going through trial and error and trying to find that person. Or they have young children and they're stuck at home mm-hmm. by themselves.
You're also just coming off of a time that is full of connections if you went to college.
Yes.
Because then you're like around people all the time. You're, you know,
you're seeing them constantly uh-huh. in the cafeteria or at the library.
And you have that built-in shared experience that true connection can stem from.
Yes.
And then after you leave that, where are your shared experiences?
And so I think like when we look at maybe older people, like you mentioned, the older ladies who are single, or, you know, people who in later in life are lonely, we expect them to feel lonely, but we don't expect the younger people mm-hmm. to feel lonely. So again, that feeling of, well, I'm surrounded by people, or I'm young, I shouldn't feel this way, mm-hmm. but you do. It almost makes it like hurt, like twist the knife a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. So we mentioned that we were going to talk about this yesterday during teen class, and mm-hmm. one of the teens really perked up. I don't know if you
noticed. Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. And so I texted them this morning and said, hang on, let me pull my text back up. I had it pulled up, but my phone fell asleep.
No, I think this is perfect, because even as you reach down into those later teen years, that like desperate need for connection, like that's why they're always on their phones.
Yeah. I said, so I texted them this morning and said, do you have some thoughts on loneliness?
Oh, I bet they did. What'd they say?
You perked up. So at first they just said that they've just been feeling lonely lately, which I totally get.
We get you.
Also, when you're a teen, like summer can be a really hard time. Oh, when everybody's running different ways, or when you have those moments of like camp and you go do something really intense with people, and you have that similar to college, like that mm-hmm. pressure cooker experience of relationship. And then you come back from it and there can be a real letdown.
Oh yeah.
They sent me a message later and said, mostly I just think talking about what they wanted us to talk about, mm-hmm. about how you can be lonely while being surrounded by like friends.
Oh,
which is exactly what we're talking about now. I think that never goes away. And like you said, you're not learning how to get rid of it. You're just learning how to, I don't even want to use the word manage. You're learning how to move through it.
Yes.
Just be in it.
So when I go through really dark periods in my life, I tend to start believing what that loneliness feeling is telling me, that I'm disconnected, that mm-hmm. no one really understands mm-hmm. me. And instead of reaching out, I start thinking no one does understand me. So I'm going to isolate. Mm-hmm. And so it's this like vicious cycle of, well, I'm not going to reach out to my friend because I'm too much, or I'm not going to hang out with anybody because they're going to think I'm annoying. Mm-hmm. And then they're not going to reach out to you because you haven't been reaching out to them. And then you're going to feel even more lonely.
And it's hard. This is maybe getting into some of my tips I was going to talk about later.
Oh yeah.
But someone not reaching out to you very rarely actually has anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm. People are so wrapped up in their own lives. Mm-hmm. But when, like, I remember when I was a teenager, I pretty much only let other people reach out to me because mm-hmm. I thought no one wants to come over to my house. No one wants to hang out with me. And so I would just allow people to basically adopt me and then take me wherever. And it led me to some situations where I was like, oh, I don't really want to be here.
Yeah.
In a desperate need for connection.
It also can be a little sometimes disheartening when you feel like you're the one who's always having to do the reaching out.
That's true too.
And I really think that that's a superpower, actually. Like, I think it's a gift.
To reach out to people?
Yeah, and to, like, just to be aware of other people and your need for them. Like, there are some friendships I have where I feel like I'm always the one sending the first text or making the first move. But, like, so?
It doesn't mean that...
And sometimes we keep score. You're like, I reached out first last time. If they really wanted to be my friend, then they would reach out. They would reach out to me.
Yeah, you'd think it's like, oh, well, that's important to them. But they may not be the kind of person who does that.
Or they may not be, like, it might be true that I want to connect with them more than they want to connect with me.
That's
enough. Is that a disqualifier for that they still enjoy genuine connection with me?
This touches on something that I watched in Carolyn's video, that you're not everyone's cup of tea, mm-hmm. that not everyone is going to like you, and that's okay. And so if they're not reaching out to you, it's not that you inherently are a bad person or that you're not good enough. It's just they have better connection elsewhere.
Also, just because you might not be, there's a commercial, what is it, for some beer. And now I can't remember what it is, but they say, we don't need to be the only beer that you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink. Oh, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, but the reverse of that is true too. Like, I don't need to be everyone's best friend. Mm-hmm. And it's okay if I'm not someone's favorite cup of tea. Mm-hmm. I can just be... tea that they enjoy in the summer.
Yeah.
I can be the iced tea that they like when it's hot outside. And then when it gets cold, I'm not the tea for them.
Yes.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
Like, the variety of connections that we have is beneficial.
I like that. I like that variety. Mm. I want to come back to that later, but I want to add a little caveat in, of you do need to let go of those friendships where someone is just using you, where it's like they only call you when they need mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. Just like,
when it's like kind of parasitic.
A little bit. And it may not even feel that way until you start to realize, like, oh, all we do when we're together is talk about you and you vent and then you call me up because you need me to watch your dog. And then I'm not really getting anything back. Mm-hmm. And that's not a selfish thing to do, to just let a friendship kind of like fade mm-hmm. away and say no and be like, I need to do something else tonight other than hang out with you.
Yes. Another thing that our teen texted, this was a second thought that they had, was how it can be hard to come off a lonely streak and reconnect to others after your lonely period. Oh,
let me tell you, whoever this teen is, I got you, because I'm doing it right now.
I think our whole culture is doing it right now. All of society coming off of COVID.
Yes.
I think that we forgot how to be social and connect with people.
Yeah. All we had was social media, and we realize now that social media does not fill the place of actual connection mm-hmm. with others. So for coming out of my lonely streak, because I know I've just like pretty much basically ignored my friends for the past few weeks, like a month. I was okay. I like planned this out. I was like, all right, I'm going to see one friend like a whole week, like, or last half of the week. I was like, all right, one friend each night, and we're going to do something a little different. So like one night I called up a friend, and it was last minute, but I thought, you know what? If they say no, it's okay. So I called him up. I'm like, hey, you want to watch a fall movie with me and get in some spooky vibes? And they're like, yeah, I'm down. And I was like, it's going to be kind of late. They're like, I don't care. I'm like, yes. So we sit down, we watch some spooky stuff.
What did you watch?
The Muppets Haunted House. It's like an hour-long special. Will Arnett is just hamming it up. It's silly. Yeah. It's not spooky, so you can watch it with
spooky,
your kids.
Spooky, silly.
Yeah, spooky, silly. I don't do, like, spooky, horror spooky. Jump scares. Mm-mm. then the next night, my friend was like, hey, you want to go on a walk? And it was cooler then. I was like, okay. So we walked. We ended up walking for like 2 hours and talking. And I was like, okay, that was really tiring. And we did a lot of walking. I don't know if I can do that again. Well, the next night after that, I was talking with a friend and I was like, hey, you want to come watch a musical with me at my house? We can like drink some, I'm really into mead these days. I was like, we can drink some mead together and watch a musical. And it was lovely. And I did.
So was this three different friends?
It was three different friends.
I got to tell you, this is exhausting.
I know it sounds exhausting. Now, remember, we talked at the beginning.
You need more than I do.
I need more. Mm-hmm. So I would say, because I was scared to do this too. I thought I was going to be tired after all of this, but I wasn't. Because I like spread it out and I spread out all of these activities. But I would say to those who are coming out of isolation, do not be afraid to schedule like a regular occurrence of hanging out with someone. Like my friend who I watch musicals with, we watch about one musical a month. Mm-hmm. So I know somewhere in like on a Friday in the month, I'm going to be hanging out with them. And I can count on that connection. So maybe for someone who has less, of that need, maybe it's like, all right, at least once a month, I'm going to go have dinner with a friend.
Well, it's funny you say that because last week, I think on Tuesday, I went and had dinner with Kim because I needed to get a book from her.
Okay.
And so she was going to be a burrito day. And she was like, you can come just if you want, or I can bring you burrito day or whatever. And I was like, hey, yeah, I'll come eat a burrito day.
Yeah.
Well, we're reading the same books right now, the same series. She's behind me a little, but like I'm obsessed with them. And so I texted her last night and I said, hey, it's tomorrow, burrito day Tuesday. And she can't, she has plans.
Yeah.
But I was like, really proud of myself.
You reached out
for, and this is a busy week.
Mm-hmm. We've got a big event coming up.
Like it's going to be a lot of people time. So part of me was like, no, I need to protect, not doing anything. But then I thought maybe what I need to do is just get to be around someone that I know we have something to talk about and we can like connect over this thing, these books, whatever, and it can just feel comfortable.
Well, and what's great about going to a dinner, like when you're not at someone's house, is it can end. Mm-hmm. And when you're done with your food and like eventually you're like, okay, we've been sitting here for a while. We should go ahead and leave. Mm-hmm. So if you are someone who is very protective of your time, don't be afraid to say, hey, do you want to come over from like 7 to 9? We'll hang out, but I got to go to bed and like, you know, do whatever, or I've got to take time for myself and just like be upfront about it. Like you can do that. Mm-hmm. It's allowed. So don't be afraid to put those limitations on your, you know, connection time.
Yeah. I think one of the struggles with connection and why loneliness can creep in unexpectedly is that the ability to connect is constant for us. Like you can always send someone a text. I could always call my mom on my way home. I can always watch someone's Insta stories and see what's going on in their life. So there is like that pseudo connection that is happening.
Like it's always there.
Yeah. Or the opportunity for it is always there. And because of that,
we can like put it off.
Right. It doesn't,
I don't feel like it right now. So I can,
right. Back to being important versus urgent. Like it doesn't feel either of those things because it's always humming. Like it's always a little bit there. Mm-hmm. And so it never really gets filled up. And then we're always like feeling a little empty and we don't know why.
Yes.
I was, here's another connection. A friend of mine said one of her love languages is when people just drop by unannounced. Mm-hmm. And so last night I was driving by their house and I was like, I can't just go knock on the door. Like, what if she already took her bra off? Like, you know, what if she doesn't want to see
y'all somebody? Aren't on that level yet.
And so I called her and I said, remember when you told me that you love it when people drop by unannounced? She was like, yes. I said, are you home? I'm at your door. And so I stayed at their house for like an hour and a half. Ooh. I like things that are spontaneous.
Yeah.
Because it exhausts me to have a full calendar. Anyway.
To, like, see it.
I forgot why I started talking about this though. Rats.
Well, you know, I actually practice that spontaneity of connection with a friend of mine. I usually end up talking myself out of these situations. Oh, uh-huh. And so she was like, oh, I'm sick. She caught the con crud. Mm. So
Comic-Con
crud. So if you go to a big convention, you hang out with a bunch of people, you come back with like the sniffles.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So she can't see anybody, but I thought, you know what makes Joe happy when she's feeling sick? Is like to bring by us some Sonic.
Not when I'm feeling sick, anytime.
Yeah, sorry. I should put that in there. Yeah, anytime to make Joe feel better is bring some Sonic. So I was like, I'll see if it works
or
with her.
Any beverage really will do.
Yeah.
I just love that.
And yeah. This friend is also an introvert. So I know she doesn't want me to come and like sit with her mm-hmm. while she's sick. So I said, I'm going to come and drop you off a Sonic drink. What do you want? She's like, really? Like, yeah, sure. And I just like handed it to her and walked away. So even though we weren't like actually talking, it was that still that connection of I was thinking of you uh-huh. and trying to do it in a way that you feel loved, not necessarily how I would feel loved.
Right.
But I still got connection out of it.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. And you created an opportunity for further connection if she wanted it. Mm-hmm. Like you brought me Sonic the first week I was by myself, I think.
Yeah.
During my shoulder surgery. And you stayed for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I knew I was like...
Well, you also brought a pretzel, so you had to sit down to eat that.
But no, I mean, the intention was, you know, I haven't seen Joe in a little bit. She could probably stand to talk a little shop, mm-hmm. you know.
It's funny you said you almost didn't do it because even yesterday when I was driving by their house... It's on campus. Mm-hmm. And so I was like driving by. I was like, I'm going to stop. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. I'll stop if there's a parking spot. You know, like, and there was. And so I pulled over and stopped. And I was like, is this dumb?
Oh, like,
am
yes.
I being weird?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I thought, no, she said she liked this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to do it. You know, because then I started thinking, oh, but what if someone dropped by my house and I didn't want to see anyone?
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I think if someone dropped by,
like one of my friends was here, I'd be like, hey,
yeah.
I was just doing some dishes. I can sit down and like chat for a bit.
Yeah.
I think that would be so fun.
So,
but there probably are some people out there who genuinely don't like that. So do what Joe did and give him a little jingle on the phone first.
Right. Cause she could say no. Like she could be like, oh, that is so sweet. Actually, we're right in the middle of X.
Yeah.
And then it takes the pressure. Cause some of it too was like, what if it's a bad time?
Mm-hmm.
So then I felt like I was still giving her an opportunity to say no. And that made me feel more comfortable.
Sometimes I say that when I call someone randomly and I don't text them first. I'm like, hey, what are you doing right now? And they're like, oh, you know, we're getting ready to go to this meeting. I'm like, oh, well, I was just calling to chat. You know, we'll talk later. Bye.
Yeah.
So I'm still offering up that connection and giving them an out to say no.
Uh-huh.
Because that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
So do you were talking about ways that loneliness can creep in. Like that. And I think we keep coming back to it's
to tell that story about dropping by my friends last night, but I don't remember why.
Well, if you think of it, let me know.
Yeah, it had to do with that somehow, but I don't remember the connection.
So I want to bring in something that is totally outside of my usual wheelhouse. I think loneliness can also come from a disconnect with yourself.
Uh-huh.
When you are not being true and authentic to yourself. So I didn't start going to cons until like 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, wouldn't that be so cool? But it's kind of weird. And I'd have to go by myself. And I just don't know if that would be okay to do. Or like when I went ballroom dancing for the first time, oh, that feels kind of weird. Like, I don't think... Like,
did you go ballroom dancing by yourself?
Even though I went with a group of people, I didn't know them very well.
Yeah.
But I knew that it was something that I wanted to do. And so I just kind of kept myself from those things until I finally started doing them. And mm-hmm. then I was like, oh, wait, this is my jam.
I've had people tell us that they didn't come to the quilting class for a while because they didn't want to come by themselves. And then they finally just decide, I just want to do this even if no one else does it with me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm almost positive that all of those people do not regret it.
No. Also, it's like a good solo sport, but like more fun with other people. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like ballroom dancing. I would think, ooh, I need to go with a partner. Like, what if there's an odd number of people? Like,
there
that
always
would all
was.
Be going through my mind.
There always were more girls than guys, but the place we were at, you know, you switch partners and stuff, and it gives you an opportunity for break. So can I just
tell you, speaking of ballroom dancing, something that really stresses me out.
Sure.
We just watched the new Emma. I don't know how new it is, but the Jane Austen movie, Emma.
With the chick from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes. Okay. No. No, girl from The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, yes. She's got blonde hair and like ringlets. Yes.
She looks totally different. Mm-hmm. But okay. Anyway, back in those times when they would do those like communal dances,
yes,
and they would all be lined up and then they all did the same dances, mm-hmm, and then switched partners. And how did they learn them? It like really makes me uncomfortable.
Well, I'm sure that they went to like manor school or something, because typically
the wealthy people, like the servants couldn't go to those.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, you had to dance with like people you didn't want to touch.
Yeah.
People you didn't like.
Well, what I like about some of those dances is it's almost like basically like walking around each other. Sometimes they don't even touch. And I'm like, this is interesting.
They still manage to always have these like lingering moments.
Oh, I think that's some movie magic happening there where they're like longing glances and whatever.
Yeah.
You can turn anything a little romantic if you put enough Vaseline on the lens of a camera, you know, enough warm lighting, like, oh, wow.
Okay, there's a tip. If you're looking for connection, just put some Vaseline on your camera.
Yeah.
Metaphorically.
Take a ring light selfie and give that longing stare and send it. I don't know.
Like, that might be a type of connection we're not really prepared to talk about.
Ditch that.
Back to what you were saying before I interrupted you about ballroom dancing.
So it can be a lack of connection with yourself if you're always keeping yourself from things that you would truly enjoy because you don't have someone to do them with you.
Mm-hmm. Which, this is a little bit of a tip potentially, but doing those things,
mm-hmm,
creates opportunity to connect with people who also want to do those things.
Oh, shocker. You mean I'm going to find people who love nerdy things at Comic-Con and might find a new friend?
So if you're feeling lonely with the friends that you have now and like that they're not understanding you or whatever, then maybe you need to go find new friends. Not that you can't still have those.
You keep the old ones.
But you need to make new friends, but keep the old one in silver and the other gold. Do you not know that song?
What is that from?
We used to sing it in church.
Oh.
But that's not all of it. That's just the,
is that like the end or the chorus or something? Or what is that?
I don't know. It's not very long. There's something about like if you see a shiny penny, put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Yeah, I've heard that part. I didn't know there was...
Maybe that's two different songs. We just sang them at similar times.
Interesting. Okay.
Anyway.
But keeping the old ones and going and finding new ones.
Yeah. Because then you're finding friends that are surrounded... Where you're connecting around an interest.
Yes.
We see this. This happens at Make Do all the time. Oh, my word. Yesterday in the teen class, so we have... seven now, only Ooh. Six yesterday.
Man.
We talked about anime for a solid hour. I don't know a single thing about anime. I don't even understand the words that they say when someone's like, what's your favorite anime? And they say it and then they start saying the characters. And
yes.
I'm like,
it's in another language.
Hashimoto who?
Yeah.
Like what?
Uh-huh. And then they use slang to go along with it. All of these different. Yeah. It's a whole thing.
And so I don't need to be, I'm the teacher.
You're facilitating.
And I'm not the teen. So the connection is going to be different for me anyway.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a moment I could participate in.
Yeah.
But it still made my heart sing.
Yes. So.
For those kiddos.
And I would say to that is if you, that's another way that you can find connection is through having connection to an idea or a purpose.
Mm.
So maybe you find this through your job or through some volunteering or maybe through some sort of relationship like you have with the teens where you're providing a place and an atmosphere that allows them to have connection.
Yeah.
I got to be a chaperone on a girls, at a girls conference and I freaking loved it. I don't understand all of the things that the teenage girls were talking about,
mm-hmm,
but I just loved being there and being able to give people the opportunity to connect.
Yeah.
It just, again, made my heart sing.
We find connection when they tell me the words that I use are no longer cool and then they give me different words.
What did they tell you?
Did you know it's not cool to say something is hip?
Oh.
Don't say that.
Okay.
Good. I don't think that that's in my regular vocabulary, but I think I said it once.
Yeah.
And they were like, "That don't say that."
What did they tell you instead?
I don't know. I do know that they will say pop off if something is cool. Like if you do something that if you say something or whatever and I think it's cool, then I could say.
Like if you agree with it, if you're like, yes.
Pop off.
Yeah.
I don't know if the inflection is right on that.
Oh, okay.
But that's something I hear frequently.
Ah, the nuance of teen slang. Mm-hmm. I love it. So those were kind of the three ways that I think you can find connection is connection to others, obviously, connection with yourself, and then connection through an idea or purpose. So maybe you're not...
How is connection with the idea or purpose different than connection with others?
Because you are like, well, I think that's kind of how your connection is with Make Do. Like you talked earlier about how you don't need a lot of that connection because you get a lot of it from work. But I would say that you don't necessarily interact with a ton of people, but you get your connectedness through working on this big idea that you have and that you have this purpose to bring community. And you individually may not be feeling connection to the other person that's receiving at the opposite end, like the kids class that I have, but you are getting connection through this idea or purpose.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think it's really important, the concept of connecting with yourself. You know, this is my least favorite cliche, fake it till you make it. This is part of what I think fake it till you make it ruins.
Okay.
Because it eliminates authenticity. It encourages you to build a facade and pretend to be something that you either want to become or that you aren't or whatever, so that you can fit in, so that you can achieve status or whatever the reasons are that you are faking it till you make it. And I think that that automatically disconnects you from parts of yourself. And we spend a lot of our time doing that, whether we're faking it on social media so everything looks all peachy keen, or we're pretending to like anime even though we don't know anything about it so we can join the conversation, or I just think that there's tons of ways that we can pretend or bring on like that sort of falsehood, and we're encouraged to do it.
Yes, but I would say what that phrase is trying to offer in those situations is maybe you should just try something. And even though it feels uncomfortable and you may have to like muddle your way through it, you might find that towards the end of it, you like it.
Yes. But I think you can show up. And this is where I know I pick this phrase apart too. So I acknowledge that I'm asking it to be more than it is. But I think it's important that we look at the cliches that our culture has and say when they don't hold up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So anyway, I think that you can also go in. This is one of my tips on how to like kind of break out of loneliness. Mm-hmm. It's okay to go into those situations without pretending or faking it and be like, I don't know. I'm really unsure about this. And to acknowledge that at least within yourself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think when you acknowledge it out loud, so other people hear it too, then they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you said that. I feel really awkward as well. Mm-hmm. And then that gives you something to connect on. We just assume that everyone else feels like they belong. And I think most people feel like they don't. So if I can show up in a place and be like, this is really weird, I don't know what to talk about or how to act. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of is an icebreaker and clears the air.
I think about times when I was younger where I would do something that I wasn't too sure about and I tried it and I liked it, like sushi. Didn't really like it at first, but after like eating it a few times with some friends, I enjoyed it, or like watching Doctor Who. A lot of my nerddom things come from, that's interesting. You seem to really like that. I guess I can learn something about it. But then I also remember times in high school where I would join in a conversation with a group in order to have connectedness. But like, I thought, I don't think I totally agree with this. And this feels a little icky to me.
Right.
But I would continue to be in it because that led to some connectedness. And I think that's where the, like the, maybe fake it till you make it does break down, where it's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to try and do this so that I can be connected with people, but it's not true to you. And so you kind of feel like you're selling yourself out just right, to have friends. Right, because then it's friends. Not even
a connection. If connection is supposed to make us better humans and like be satisfy a healthy part of ourselves, then having the wrong connections, it's better to not have the connection at all than to have a wrong connection.
And I think that's where like, teens who are trying to find friends and then people who are dating, mm-hmm. you try to morph yourself into something that you're not mm-hmm. in an effort to not be lonely. And then you get that connection and you find that you are lonelier than you were before because right. you're not being who you are.
Right. And by being alone, you are maintaining the opportunity for the right connections to come along. Like we could look at that even with make do. If we say yes to every opportunity that gets thrown at us, if it doesn't fit in with our mission, we are making ourselves busy. We're connecting over the wrong things. And then when the opportunity comes that does align with what we're trying to do,
we might be too busy or too tired to say yes to those other things. Yeah. So I think we've gotten a little bit away from the fake it till you make it thing. Sure. But I just wanted to talk about not being authentic to yourself in an effort for connection. So I think now would be a good time to talk about how you and I have learned to be okay with living with our loneliness, like us specifically. Mm. And then maybe we can move into some general tips for other people.
Yeah. Well, here's one like that just fits with what we were talking about, but like about the committing to the awkwardness of getting mm-hmm. plugged in. It's like, have you ever tried to plug something in the dark?
Like when you're plugging in your phone.
Yeah. And you can't see, but you're like, then you like put your fingers down and you feel where the plug is. And then you try to like plug it in and right you in can't get it. And then you sometimes trying to find connection can feel like that. And so like, it just, you know, turn the flashlight on your phone and move a little.
Maybe other people actually like first time they'll turn on the light and like, oh, I'm just going to do this. But like me, sometimes I'm like, I can do this in the dark. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. Take it easy on yourself. And in some ways that just means being authentic and like, hey, this is awkward. I really stink at basketball, but you invited me and I want to get to know you. So I'm here, and just telling someone up front, this is weird for me, but I'm gonna do it.
Uh-huh. Turn the light on.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you say? How we have,
like how you have learned to be okay with your personal loneliness. We'll expand this a little bit bigger when we talk about our tips, but I want to know, and I want to talk about it too, how you have learned to sit with your loneliness.
This would have been a really good thing to prepare. You go first.
Okay.
I haven't thought about it.
So for me, it's getting deep into my love of Halloween. It's weird. This is how I connect with myself. So
okay. So when we're talking about how we deal with our loneliness, you mean with ourselves or with other people or both?
Like, I mean, how do we deal with sitting with loneliness? So I talked about previously about the three different types of
And not trying to get rid of loneliness, but like accepting it.
Just like dealing with it. How are we just like being okay with sitting in it?
Okay.
So there's not a lot of people in my life that love Halloween as much as I do. And I have learned to make peace with that I may not find connection with other people through my love of Halloween, but I can find connection with myself by engaging in various spooky activities that then in turn just like feed me.
But you also use those as opportunities to connect.
Sometimes
I do. Like you did with your friend inviting them over for a spooky movie.
So the other night, I've just been waiting to watch the movie Practical Magic. Mm. I've just been waiting for someone to watch it with me, but I've never gotten around to it. And I thought,
oh, you'd never seen it?
No.
Okay.
I read the book first.
Okay.
Totally different vibe.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I haven't read the book, but.
But I just thought, I'm just going to go ahead and watch it. And so I was folding laundry and I watched the movie. And like afterwards, I just felt so, I don't know how to put it, but like at peace, or like a subtle glow was around me, because I just felt like, oh, I've done something that I've always wanted to do. Yeah, I did it by myself. You didn't
wait for someone else.
I wasn't waiting for someone else to join me. And you know what's cool? Movies can be rewatched. So if I wanted to do that with someone else again, I can do it again. Mm-hmm. But I just, I was able to enjoy something on my own. So part of me being okay with my loneliness is learning to just fully savor doing things by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, Richard, you know, he's a therapist. He calls that like shoulding yourself. Like, oh, I should feel like something's missing because I'm not watching it with someone else. Like someone's not in the room with me.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I enjoyed it. Loved it. And so I just savored that moment.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think... I'm trying to think of the last time I felt lonely.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I hit you with another one of mine?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, just keep sharing and then I'll jump in.
So I've started taking myself out on me dates where I'm not waiting to try something new with someone else. Like if there's a new restaurant or if our local coffee shop has a new drink, I'm not waiting to just... for someone to go with me, I'm just going and doing it. And just, I don't shame myself like, oh, what if people look at me and they see I'm all by myself? They're going to think I'm weird or strange. Who cares?
Uh-huh.
They're probably going to think I'm strange anyway because of what I wear. Because right. I have colored hair and I choose to wear things differently. But even so, like, I'm just going to go and enjoy it and not wait on other people. And who knows? I might meet someone there who wanted to talk and like I might get connection there. Or if I didn't want any of that, I can just enjoy a quiet afternoon by myself at a coffee shop or trying out a new restaurant somewhere in Little Rock.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, and new experience, like new things are important to you.
So yeah, this is Madison's list. Mm-hmm. So like I'm fulfilling my needs for new experiences and connection, but I'm just having that connection back to myself.
Uh-huh. I used to go to the movies by myself.
Like, who would know that you're in the movies by yourself anyway? You're in the dark.
But now I'm like, I'd rather stay home and watch a movie by myself. Yeah. But, you know, because I don't want to spend the money.
I was about to say, does it have less to do with the...
Yeah.
Like, being with people and more of like, I don't want to spend $12 on a ticket.
Yes. 100%. Now, I'll go to the Rialto.
Oh, yeah, I do like that because, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a nice little, it's a quaint, like, retro.
It's
like
and it's $1.50 on Tuesdays. It's yeah. like the cheap movie.
Yeah.
I guess I think it is true that you're lonelier in your 20s because mm-hmm. the closer I get to 40, which is very close, the more, like, fulfilled or satisfied, I don't know how to say it, I am with what my life is like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think before I used to think, oh my gosh, it will be so sad if I didn't have someone to share it with. And now I think, oh my gosh, it's so amazing that I can paint my kitchen cabinets whatever color I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I work a lot with Make Do and it's weird times and weird. And I never think I am leaving someone else out or not taking care of someone else's needs.
Yes.
It's let me become really selfish, like not in a bad way, like self-sustaining. And I really don't need someone else to do things for me. Or if I do, I call someone or pay them to come do something I can't do on my own, you know?
Have you ever read the book, and I think I'm getting this right, it's by Shel Silverstein called The Missing Piece?
Probably, yeah. But I loved Shel Silverstein's poems, like Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Those anthology books are so great. This particular book is really lovely because it tells the story of like a little wedged piece.
Uh-huh.
And then these circles come by and they all have different size wedges cut out of them.
Yes, yes.
And they try to like connect and fit. And eventually the wedge piece does find a circle or that has a piece missing that it fits into. And they get to like roll together. Uh-huh. But over time, they both start to grow and then they don't fit anymore. Uh-huh. And so the piece is like, well, what do I do now? A full circle that they've never seen before comes by and says, I don't need a piece to fix, you know, to fill like my little spot. I'm whole on my own. You can do the same thing. And it's like, what? But I'm just a piece. They're like, just try it. And so over time, all the edges wear away on this piece as they're rolling, right, doing their own thing, rolling down the path. And then eventually they turn into their own whole circle.
Uh-huh.
And it's only then that they come back to find the other whole circle and they start rolling together as two separate entities that are fully whole.
Yeah.
So what you were saying there about being fully self-sustaining, that's important whether you are single, whether you're in a marriage relationship, whatever relationships that you're in, you need to be able to self-sustain. And it's something that I'm trying to learn right now.
That's what I was going to say, as a people pleaser in a in specifically a marriage relationship, mm-hmm, I think that self-sustaining, like using your energy to sustain yourself, could be a challenge because you're wanting another person to not, like, you're wanting to give of yourself to someone else.
And you want someone to need you, mm-hmm, which is not a healthy relationship. You have to roll together instead of completing each other. That whole, like, Tom Cruise line of, like, you complete me.
Blah.
No. We don't complete each other. We are holistic people on our own, but the best part is that we get to roll down this path together.
Also, this is something that if you have grown up in church, is extremely mishandled. And no one is encouraging, especially young girls, to be their own circle, like, mm-hmm, to be a whole, complete person.
And I think I'm just going to speak to my own experience here. I thought there were certain things that only my husband could really handle,
uh-huh,
or like it was almost cute to let them handle it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't feel that way anymore. I'm going to do the things that I like to do, and Richard's going to do the things that he likes to do. And hopefully we are in a situation where, like, his strengths complement my strengths, but I don't need to rely on his strengths to help my weaknesses. I'm working on my own personal weaknesses right now.
Because there's also going to be things that nobody wants to do.
Yeah, we're going to have, yeah, exactly. And so we can't, that's what causes a codependent relationship, mm-hmm, is when you constantly need someone to need you and you need to let that go and just be okay on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this topic is so important to me, because it only feels like just now at the age of 28, I'm figuring out how to be like my whole person.
I think, unfortunately, that is the way of it.
Like, that's just naturally.
I mean, like the video you said, you feel loneliest in your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I think I felt lonelier probably in high school. The difference is that you're just so busy, mm-hmm, too, when you're in high school versus like when you're an adult out of college, you kind of just have more time to feel lonely.
Yeah.
And you're not surrounded. You have to force yourself to be around people.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you work from home, or if you're,
yeah, I like if, yeah, if
taking
you,
care of kids at home,
or if
or
you
something
live
like
in
that,
a small town, or if you, you know, it can, that can be a challenge.
Yeah, it really can.
How do you think FOMO plays into this? Fear of missing out. I think it's huge.
I get bad FOMO. Like, I even get it when I see you, like, I've got my own class going on, but I see you in the teen class, and I'm like, I want to be in both places at once, because, uh-huh, I love both connections.
I get it when I'm reading a stinking fantasy novel, and I get, like, FOMO of these fictional characters, and I get this weird jealousy with the heroine of the book, like, her hero's journey she's going on, and, like, I start to feel less than because I can't breathe fire. It's ridiculous.
Look, I feel less than because I can't breathe fire, too. I get that. I wish I could.
But, I think we can feel, especially with social media, that everyone else is hanging out, that mm-hmm. everyone else is connected, and we are on the outskirts. And in a small town, I think it's even more so. Or in a situation like high school, where your circle is smaller.
Mm-hmm. And you're not used to watching friendships come and go mm-hmm. and know that there will always be someone next. Because mm-hmm. like when you lose that first best friend in high school, or when you have that first falling out, it feels like your world is crumbling.
I remember when I was about 24 or 25, I was living in Northwest Arkansas, and my best friend was a guy. Mm-hmm. And he was older than me, like maybe 5 years older than me. And he was talking about some friends that he had had right out of, you know, around 21 or 22. And like, he hadn't talked to them mm-hmm. and they weren't friends anymore, but they were like so close. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's devastating. And I couldn't imagine like he was my best friend. We mm-hmm. had walkie talkies that we would talk to each other on when we were in our own apartments. Cause we lived like in the same complex. It was ridiculous.
That's hilarious.
I haven't talked to him in 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? But like, I couldn't imagine.
Like, you can't fathom
how that. You could have someone that brought, that you were so connected to, and like your whole lives, like mm-hmm. anyway, and then it, you just don't have them anymore. They just don't exist in your life anymore, but it gets, someone else comes in, like you get another.
Yeah. You get friendship. Other opportunities, but you can't see that. So from your teens up into your 20s, you're like, but these are like, this is like the first adult friend that I have. Yeah. I can't let them go, even if it's like bad. Like maybe you're not a good fit for uh-huh. each other. You're like, no, but this is my only friend. I need them. You don't.
No.
Another one will come along.
And it just takes time. But at the same time, it happens all at once. It's weird.
Yes. Well, again, if you're doing the things that you want to be doing.
Right.
Then you're going to start meeting people that feel the same way that you do.
Right.
Which is why dating in high school can be so difficult. It's like, well, everyone's here. This is where I see people the most. But you've got the widest range of like interests possible in high school. There's an article written. I think it's called like Why You Never Escape High School. And it talks about how high schoolers are stuck with just their generation for a majority of their time. Like almost like 60 to 70% yeah. of their time is spent with their cohort. And whereas like 100 years ago, it was the opposite. It was like 60 to 70% of their time was spent with adults.
Uh-huh.
And then 40% was spent with their cohort. And what that does is basically you're forced into this circle of people that all are vastly different from each other. And remember, you're not everyone's cup of tea. And so if the right people don't think you're their cup of tea, well, then you're on the outs from that popular group.
Yeah.
And it happens in such a formative time that it can make you take those feelings of isolation and loneliness and start bringing them with you. It's like baggage that you take with you into your 20s and 30s. And sometimes it's really hard to shake.
Well, because then you're also trying to figure out, how do I become someone's cup of tea? And so yes. then we're like morphing who we are to fit.
Yeah.
We start shaving away at our piece.
Yes.
So that we will fit into the circle.
Exactly. And high school is a great time to like test out the kind of person you want to be. That's cool. But morphing yourself for someone else, not cool.
Right.
Don't like that.
All right. That's all about FOMO that I had.
Okay. Yeah. No, I totally agree. FOMO can definitely play. Because no one's like taking selfies of themselves. Like, oh, look, I checked out this new bar all by myself. Isn't it fun?
Right.
No one's doing that. But I'll bet you people are doing that. There's lots of people who are out there doing things by themselves. Oh, I'm just going to go hike by myself. If you do that, please call someone and uh-huh. tell them where you're going. But like, nope.
Turn your GPS on. Yeah. Share your location with a friend.
Exactly. But no one's taking those pictures. So we don't get to see that pattern of people doing things on their own. Because by nature, they're by themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. So shall we move on to some tips? Uh-huh.
I already shared a couple of mine.
All right. Then I'll go. So this is for connecting with yourself, because okay. I think a lot of people who are listening to this and are thinking about, you know, oh, I'm really lonely. You probably already like, you know, that you want connection with other people, uh-huh. but you're not getting that right now. Uh-huh. So this tip is for getting it down another avenue. So connecting with yourself, do the thing that you've been wanting to do that you feel is scary embarrassing, or weird. So for me, it was going to Comic-Con. I was like, ooh, I don't know if I can do that on my own.
Did you go by yourself the first time you went?
I went with a couple.
Okay.
And if you've ever been a third wheel, it feels a little weird.
Uh-huh.
Because they're doing their own thing, but freaking loved it.
Uh-huh.
It was great. But I've gone to restaurants by myself. I've gone shopping by myself. You know, I have gone on walks by myself. Like, things that typically you want to take other people with you, uh-huh, especially if you're married.
Uh-huh.
But I just did it because I wanted to, and I, you know, someone wasn't available, and I loved it. So for me, what I've been considering is, I really like the idea of roller derby.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what that is?
I could totally see you doing roller derby.
I'm a very delicate person.
Well, I was going to say, like, I can see you having the look.
Yeah.
You're going to have to toughen up.
I know I'd have to toughen up. But I think that would be so fun. Even though
people that I know who have done roller derby, like, kind of seemed like you at first, and then...
then they did roller derby.
Yeah.
And then they started...
And then they get, like, wings tattooed on their back.
I love it. But, I mean, there's
Also, I could totally see you getting wings tattooed on your back.
Yeah. But there are things like that where I'm like, oh, do I want to make, like, a YouTube video? Or, like, have a YouTube channel? Or do I want to, you know, start wearing, you know... different
is
things
there
are
roller derby
hair
in Searcy?
We have a roller rink, but I've been looking into like stuff that's in Little Rock. So, yeah. So like try out the weird thing that you've been keeping yourself from.
What's the roller derby movie?
Oh, I can see the trailer, but I can't remember the
name.
I like
that movie.
But like whatever. Look, people are going to talk about you behind your back anyway. They're going to think weird things about you anyway. So just do it. Like,
yeah.
If you're already lonely and you're not happy and you're keeping yourself from doing these awesome things, like the friends that don't talk to you right now, they're still not going to talk to you.
Right. And if you go try something,
you might get a new friend.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to play softball, like in a co-ed league, like go do that. Or maybe you've been wanting to take a quilt class, but you're like, I don't have anyone to go with. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people who want to come take the quilt class.
October is the next one.
There you
Whip
go.
Whip It. That was the name of
Whip
the movie.
Whip It. Yes. Exactly.
So,
like, do the weird, scary, embarrassing thing that you've been holding yourself back from because you're concerned about what other people think.
Uh-huh.
And that will allow you to tap into connectedness with yourself, and it might lead to connection with other people.
Yeah.
So, that's my tip number one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think something that I have to do is, like, turn the TV off.
Okay.
'Cause sometimes I... or, like... just recognizing when I'm reading or when I'm obsessed with the show, I will like connect with those characters and they're not real.
Yeah. Which I think some of that it's called a parasocial relationship. You can have it with celebrities or with a fictional character.
People might have it with us because we're in their ears.
Yes.
Someone yesterday was saying that you feel more connected to people you listen to on a podcast than like people you would see on TV, because mm-hmm. there's something scientifically about that they're in your head,
well,
or like in your ears.
And I would also say that most podcasts are like not totally scripted.
Oh yeah.
And they're more of a conversation. So yeah, it totally feels like mm-hmm. you're with somebody's. Mm-hmm. And I think there are healthy places for that. That's what I do. I listen to people, like I don't listen to music. I listen to podcasts or like people play D&D because I want that feeling,
uh-huh.
but people aren't always available.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Or it could make it feel, because when it's one-sided like that, you're getting what you need from them without really
giving anything of yourself.
And there's also no disappointment.
Yes.
Like they aren't letting you down, and real people are going to let you down.
Ooh. And I think that's why there's a lot of people that like hold celebrities to such a high standard. Uh-huh. And then when they do something, they're like, they're terrible. Cancel them. And I'm like, well, like, not that I agree with what they're doing, but they're people.
They are, like, an actual real person.
Yeah.
Right. So, sometimes I just need to limit those parasocial relationships.
Because it'll fill up your connectedness, but it's like
false.
Empty calories
yeah.
almost.
Yes.
We're like, it's okay to have ice cream every once in a while, but you can't have it uh-huh. all the time.
Yeah. So I will spend time in silence, or like just not, you know, a lot of times I just have it on when I'm doing something creative or cleaning my house. And so sometimes I need to just not have to have the noise.
Yes.
And that helps me connect with myself a little bit more.
I like that. I like the turning off the TV. Okay. Getting rid of your expectations of how your connectedness should be.
Okay.
Or how you, like, so maybe you're just saying, well, I shouldn't feel lonely because I'm married, because I have all of these friends.
Okay.
You're allowed to.
Yeah.
Feel lonely even if you have those things. So let go of that expectation. Or maybe you have this expectation of, I need someone to go with me to the movies, to dinner, to whatever, so that I can enjoy the thing. Someone may enhance that enjoyment, but that doesn't keep you from enjoying the thing. So letting go of that expectation that you need other people to enjoy your hobby, your, you know, whatever you enjoy in your life.
What about letting go of the expectation of what someone's going to fulfill for you?
Yes, you should as well. It's just quit shoulding yourself and take inventory of what you actually have right now at your disposal, and then move from there, and then start getting into, okay, well, if I'm lacking in connection with other people right now, how can I connect with myself? How can I connect with maybe something that's bigger than me, like an idea or a purpose? And then you might be able to get some of that connection with other people through those other avenues. Because we recognize that you do need connection with actual human beings. Mm-hmm. It's how we're wired.
Yeah.
But you cannot, like you talked about earlier, about variety. If you stick all your eggs in the I need to be with people to not be lonely basket, you're guaranteed to feel lonely and then feel lonelier because you're not with people.
Right.
And that was the only way you were feeding your connectedness.
Right.
Maybe you feel connected when you're working on a quilt, or when you are, you know, working on your house, or when you're out in your garden. Like, you can feel connectedness beyond people. So spreading out how you get fed is going to help you.
Similarly, speaking of all your eggs in one basket, you can't get everything from one person.
Ain't that the truth?
And whether that is a best friend or a partner or a spouse, a lot of times for me, it's my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cannot get everything I need from one person. Similar to, like, you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but also you can't just drink tea all day. You also need, like, water.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may need some milk.
Yes.
Sometimes you might need a Diet Coke from Sonic.
Yes.
Find ways to broaden your circle.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be just a one-off. It also, like, you go try something and you meet someone and you have connection with them and you may never see them again. Like, that's okay too.
It's true. I tell people that you need to have, like, three friends that you can call, like, if you really need something. And they don't, like, one of them can be your best friend, but the other two don't necessarily have to be. Just people that are reliable, because just in case you need something and you call the first one and they can't pick up, that's okay. You can call the next person to, like, you know, oh, I've really got a vent. I really have this thing going on, or, you know, whatever. So keeping at least three relationships alive where if you do need someone, you're not relying solely on one person. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, like, maybe it's your sister or your spouse, because people will fail you.
Uh-huh.
So I like that. Diversify your social circle a little bit, even if you are an introvert.
Yeah. Let me tell you one thing that does make me feel alone.
Okay.
Is when I have to put an emergency contact on something.
Man, so, like, what do you do then?
It depends on the situation. So, like, sometimes, because I think I put you as my emergency contact on something, but I...
Was it, like, for physical therapy or something that you...
For physical therapy, I put my parents. I'm like, if it's an emergency, call 911.
Yes.
And then, like...
Yeah. Like, if it's real bad, they'll notify next of kin, right? Like, they know.
Right. Like, what is... one person gonna, you know,
Meet me at the hospital? I don't know. We can figure it out when we're there. But it's always tricky.
I guess that helps when you're considering dependents. So if it's like, hey, Joe is incapacitated, does she have a dog that needs to be taken care of? Like, who would be the person then can go over and like take care of things when you're out of commission?
Right. It's a very weird, like, usually I'm fine. But then when I have to come up with an emergency contact, I'm like, ugh.
Sometimes it's weird for me when parents write down like people that they are not related to for their kids' emergency contact. Oh. Like they'll put theirs and they're like, and if I'm not available, this person, they're like family to us, but they're,
yeah,
but it's someone different. And I kind of like that.
Well, because people don't always have family here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think it's good.
I agree. I think having friendships that almost feel like family are important, especially when you're far away.
Any more? Do you have other tips? I have two more.
I have one more. I've touched on this a lot already, but if you want to go do something and no one will go with you, just go and do it anyway and don't post about it on social media. And here's why not to post about it on social media. Because when you are posting about something that you are doing on social media, you're giving a little piece of that experience to other people online.
Okay.
Be okay with keeping something and savoring it for yourself. Social media can be a way to connect with other people. Like, hey, I happen to be doing this and I'm doing it by myself and kind of being an inspiration. But you don't have to give people that. If you want to take pictures, great. But don't feel like you have to constantly put yourself out there on social media.
I see this both ways because one, I think we had just said we don't ever see people doing things by themselves.
So visibility, great. I agree.
Right. So it is good representation of, yes, people can do things alone. I think the danger is when you feel like you need to post about it for it to have value.
Yes.
And like you need someone to validate that thing you did was worthwhile or that it even happened. Mm-hmm. So that is maybe the deciding factor.
This is where you have to be honest with yourself. Uh-huh. Like if you're like, okay, if I didn't post about this on social media, would I still go? And if the answer is, I don't really feel like going if I don't take a picture with it, then that probably means that you need to be honest and find the thing that you actually want to be doing there. So don't force yourself.
That leads into my next one, which is choose authenticity. You will always feel more connected when you are being your authentic self. And if you are faking it or turning yourself into something just for the sake of connection, it will not be long-lived. Mm-hmm. And if it is long-lived, you will be very miserable.
Yes. I just thought of one more because it speaks to the purpose and idea. When you are feeling alone and you feel like people are not, and you feel lonely and people aren't giving to you, oftentimes it helps you when you go out and help others. So finding a way to give back, volunteer either with an organization or like reaching out to someone who needs help or giving help, joining a meal train, whatever, can help you feel connected by doing good. Mm. You may not get that relationship conversation thing going on, but just the sheer act of helping your fellow man will help you feel connected to the rest of humanity. Mm. So try that.
Make the first move or the second and third and fourth and fifth move.
Yeah.
Like don't wait. Like you said, just go do something, you know, if you want to do it, just go do it. Also, if you want to be with someone else for coffee or that thing you want to do or whatever, call them, text them, ask them, even if you are the one that is always asking,
because if you are cool with yourself and if you are whole, then it doesn't reflect on you when they say no. It's just, they didn't want to. Cool. I can go by myself because I'm okay to go by myself.
Yeah.
Or I can ask someone else because I have a broader range of friends.
If someone that you ask is always telling you no, then they may not be that into you.
Yeah.
You may not be their cup of tea. And then you just move on.
And it's okay because you are a whole piece and you don't need someone else's.
Yeah. And that sounds like romantic relationship advice. And I don't mean it that way. No, but it's even with friends. But yeah, even with friends.
It's true. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people that when you're with them, they fill you up and they make you like, ooh, yeah, I feel great. Uh-huh. And then there's other friends that maybe don't give you that same feeling. And then there's some friends that kind of feel like they take from you.
Yeah.
Try to spend as much time with the people that make you feel
yes
most you.
Also, if someone is asking you to do things and you're always having to tell them no, but you want to hang out with them,
yes,
like, let them know. Keep asking, or I'm sorry, I always say no, or I can't right now, but can we make a plan for like 2 weeks from now, ooh, or something okay like that?
This is my favorite thing. Richard actually turned me onto this method of communication. I freaking love it. So we would always like meet a couple at church, or we'd meet a new friend and we'd be like, oh, we should hang out sometime.
Oh yeah.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, yeah, sure. And then we never hang out.
Uh-huh.
So now what we do is like, oh, we should hang out sometime. And then Richard pulls out his phone and says, okay, when is good for you?
Uh-huh.
I know people can feel put on the spot, but it's a good way to ensure that, like, hey, I actually mean this. If you're just saying this, then this is the opportunity to say, oh, well, I'm really busy right now, and yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now I get the message. You were just saying that, fine, whatever. But now it shows you that I'm really interested, and we can go ahead and pencil something in. Uh-huh. So try that.
Whenever you put something in your phone that's penciled in, I always put a pencil emoji, like if I don't know if it's actually going to happen, then it's just that, like, penciled in, but there's no way to like pencil something in on your digital calendar. So yeah, I use, so you the put pencil a pencil emoji.
Oh, it's so cute. Yeah. So feel free to pencil someone in.
Yeah.
Or just like, hey, or tell someone, I'm really busy right now. I know this is going to sound strange, but like, call back in like a month,
uh-huh,
and I will be ready to yeah hang out.
Or I'm setting an alarm on my phone
to call you back.
Touch base with you in a month.
So, and also to go along with that, when I tell someone no, I say, I can't hang out this Tuesday. However, I'm available next week or 2 weeks from now on these days. Does that work for you?
Uh-huh.
So that they feel like, oh, we are going to be hanging out soon. It's just not when I thought we yeah might be hanging out.
Yeah. That sounds great. Anything else? Nothing from me.
No.
I feel connected to you.
I definitely feel connected with you. Yeah, I hope this episode helps you. If you are feeling lonely at the moment, feel free to check out Carolyn Winkler's video. She has some interesting tips and she's hilarious.
If I remember, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
It's 50-50
yeah,
percent chance on if it's there or not.
It's okay to be lonely. We all are. And just learn how to be in it while still being you, because you're going to be lonely throughout your whole life. So figure out how to just be with it.
And it won't last forever.
Yes. Everything has an end.
Yeah. What is your sweet this week?
It's funny. I have everything else down but my sweet.
I didn't write one either.
It's hot today.
That's my sour.
Oh, go ahead. Tell us about your sour.
It's hot today.
How hot is it, though?
100 degrees it's going to be today and tomorrow. This is a busy week, too, and that always puts me off on a sour. Yeah. And I'm having a hard time at PT. That is extra sour.
Yeah. Honestly, my sweet would be having this conversation about loneliness and our previous in-depth conversation about love and healing. It's talking about things like this that just kind of help to soothe me and be okay with the fact that sometimes I don't feel okay, and yeah, that is okay.
Right.
So I'm sitting here and enjoying this moment.
Yeah, and you don't have to be okay or have all the answers to be of value to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've just been sitting here thinking about our teen and like, is this the conversation that they needed to hear? Is this going to help them feel connected? I don't know. Mm-hmm. What I do hope is that the fact that we're having the conversation or mentioning the things that they say, or, you know,
will lead to
that they feel connected with us. Yeah. I don't know.
Because that's really all we have control over.
Yeah.
Is us, ourselves. Yeah. So,
man, so we're sweetless.
Well, I really am. This really is one of my sweets, is sitting here in this conversation.
Or this conversation.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to savor what you got right in front of you.
Ooh, I have a sweet. I just thought of one.
Oh.
Yesterday, last night, I went and spoke at the Quilt Guild about Make Do.
Oh, nice.
And I used to be a member of the guild for like a year. Then things got busy with Make Do. And I want the guild to come meet at Make Do. But several of the women there, I think that they would want to come meet here. And I think that there is like a group of them that are like want their guild to have life and like be more than what it is. And then I was just thinking about what that could look like for also what we're doing at Make Do, you know? And so I just, without their, you know, really their consent for me to dream on their behalf, have been thinking about like what that could look like to just have a community like that, that is meeting here. Anyway,
we would always love to have more people, more community.
That's my sweet.
And okay.
Sours.
Yeah, you're sour. It's too hot.
And my shoulder. It's the busy week. All of those things. Ugh.
Yes. Joe.
What?
So the character I cosplayed as.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She died.
She did.
Last episode. Yes. Like at the beginning of the episode. So. You roll.
So she was already dead when you went to Comic-Con and you didn't know? No.
She was on her like. Death throes.
Okay.
So, but yeah, this latest episode, she has passed away. When you play Dungeons and Dragons, the main dice you roll is a 20-sided die. And like typically a 1 to a 10 is a failure and a 11 to 20 is, you know, some sort of success.
Okay.
She rolled a 1 for like, it's called a saving throw if as to whether or not she dies, and she rolled a 1. So it's just so like,
for really, sure, yeah, dead.
For sure dead. But it's okay. Like, I can still cosplay a dead character.
It's just a good thing you cosplayed her when you did.
Yes.
She was still alive.
Yeah, I'm just sad that she won't get to have more adventures. And I guess this is my parasocial relationship with a fictional character.
And when you are dressed as her for Halloween.
Hey, I'm a spooky dead person.
I thought she was already undead.
She is.
How did she die?
So the first time she died as like someone killed her as like a message, but then she came back and, but that didn't happen in this storyline.
Okay.
Like she started the story and she was undead and creepy and it was cute and hilarious and yeah, but now she's actually dead.
Dead and can't come back.
Yeah. As far as I know.
I don't know.
Crazy things have happened, but as of right now.
Yeah, because that dungeon master could make a story and then someone rolls a 20 and then she's back.
Who knows? Yeah. So anyways, that's my
sour. Your set. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll be fine.
You will.
I'll get over it. What are you learning these days?
I'm learning that you can't just jump back into things.
What brought that up? What's going on?
My first couple weeks of PT were fine, and then now I've been out of my sling for 1 week, and I feel like I did before I had surgery.
That does feel like a few steps back.
Feels like several steps back. So the difference is it's just pain. That's okay. It doesn't mean I have to, like, have surgery again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to... It's hard when I'm like, I did too much. I didn't do anything. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not like I went to the gym and was like trying to squat weight on my back or like do shoulder press.
Mm-hmm.
I just taught a quilting class.
I know. But so it's doing things that you normally would have done, but it's all part of the recovery.
And it's harder now because I don't have my sling.
To like rely on
or to as a social buffer that helps other people manage their expectations of what I can do.
Because you look normal.
Right.
You don't look like anything's wrong.
Right.
And
so anyone that has an autoimmune disease or like, you know, those invisible diseases that affect people that you can't see.
You feeling a little taste of that?
I'm with you.
Man. Okay. I am learning how to make like seed bead jewelry right now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Make me some lemon earrings.
You want some lemon earrings? I'll see what I can do. But it's just kind of like I needed some rose gold colored things and I couldn't find anything I liked. And I was like, I can make something with these beads. And I don't know. It's one of those crafty things that
I had looked up. I actually had gotten some seed beads and looked up some stuff. And then I was like, this takes forever.
Yeah. The one that I'm working on right now is not too bad. I got like the little like special needle and stuff. And it's been fun. Like, I don't mind it at all. But, you know, learning new things is another way that you can, like, connect with yourself and not feel as lonely. Because when you're wrapped up in some sort of creative experience.
Time flies.
Yes. And also, you're connecting back with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in, and since you're so engrossed in what you're doing, you aren't concerned with what other people are thinking or doing.
I think that is the appeal of, like, falling into a binge on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
or like reading books, like consuming stuff.
Or getting a new hobby where it's mm-hmm. just absorbing.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that is when you are truly passionately throwing yourself into something, whether it's, you know, an idea or purpose, or whether it's a hobby or some sort of experience, people take notice of that and they love that.
Mm.
They may not even appreciate whatever you're doing. They're like, wow, that person's really good at knitting. I'm not really into knitting, but that person is so into it, and I think that's cool. Like, people come up to me all the time. They're like, I think it's so cool that you go to Comic-Con. And I'm like, are you serious? That's like, like, I had someone at the gym heard me talking about Comic-Con, and they're like, yeah, I was really wanting to go. I was like, oh, what nerd thing are you into? He's like, I'm not really into anything. I just think it's cool. And I thought, there's no way that Comic-Con is cool now. But it's just people truly enjoying authentically the things that they love and not caring what other people think.
Yeah.
That's attractive
mm-hmm.
to friends, lovers, whatever, you know?
Oh my.
Like people just like it when you're passionate about things uh-huh. and when you're just you.
What's the authenticity? Yeah. It is attractive.
So when people are like, oh, just be yourself. Yes, it is true, even though it's kind of trite, but
mm-hmm.
just be you
mm-hmm.
and enjoy yourself. And other people will want to join. Like, they'll want to come hang out with you.
Madison's making joining hand motions.
Yes. And we're interlacing fingers. Come and join you. Yes.
Okay. Well, we feel connected to you even if we are in a parasocial relationship, if we don't know you in person. And if we know
you in
person.
If you would like to connect with us, feel free to leave us a review. Because sometimes we'll read them on the podcast if you want to get a little extra connected.
Like, no one has, we hadn't had one in so long, I haven't even been looking.
So if you want a little extra connection, you can reach us out to us that way. Or if you're local, you can come by and
say
see
hi.
Us. Yeah.
I was going to say come by this weekend, but this weekend will have already happened when this comes out.
That's
so
true.
Hallelujah. By the time you're listening to this, Get Down Downtown will be over.
Man, if you're one of those Monday morning listeners, I might be asleep when you're listening to this.
Actually, if you're one of those Monday morning listeners, I might have forgotten to upload the podcast. It might be Monday afternoon.
That weekend was tiring. It was hot.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.
What was it, long?
Oh, yeah, it was long.
Was it an hour and 27 minutes?
It's an hour and 28 minutes.
I think it's a record.
So I guess if you were lonely, you just killed an hour and a half.
Unless you're on speed and a half.
Oh, then it's a little bit shorter. Just more to enjoy, I guess. Hopefully this long one will make up for the last long one that felt maybe a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, and some short ones that we've had recently.
Yeah. Anyways.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.